If you're going to be training your dog, you're going to get frustrated. Mike is here today to talk to you about how frustrating it can be and maybe some ideas on how to fix that frustration. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. It's Mike with Kiss Dog Training. Today, our topic is going to cover the idea of frustration in dog training and expectations in dog training. Okay, so I think the first thing we got to talk about is going into the process with a reasonable expectation. So if you've got a dog, let's say, that has perfected a bad behavior over the time frame of 2 years, to expect a fix, and we're going to talk about the word fix here in a minute, but to expect that kind of behavior to be solved or better in 2 weeks is kind of insane. If you were somebody who had a bad habit and you had practiced that bad habit for 2 years, and somebody walked up to you and said, okay, we're going to send you off to this training program, or you're going to deal with this therapist, and you should have it figured out in about 2 weeks, that would be an unreasonable expectation. So I always tell people, you know, look at how long the behavior's been going on. The younger the dog, the quicker I think we can make some progress. But if you've got a behavior that's been going on for a while, it's going to take a while to create a replacement behavior, make that replacement behavior more rewarding than the bad behavior, and to see the change between the two. Now, let's talk about that wonderful word, fix. A lot of dog trainers claim they can fix any dog, okay? I always tell my clients, don't ever think in terms of fixing things. I think you can manage, I think you can modify, I think you can improve. But, you know, the ha-ha funny way, I guess, of looking at this is if I look at the idea of fixing my dog, it would be like me saying I'm going to fix my spouse or my child or anything else. You know, at best, you know, we know with human beings, the best we're going to get is management, modification, and improvement. You're never going to change who somebody is. And I don't think you're going to change who the dog is. We can manage, modify, improve. If you put that word fix in there, you set yourself up with an unreasonable expectation of what you really want to do with your dog. Okay, so if we decide, like let's say using the idea of my dog reacts negatively when they see other dogs on leash, okay? Well, we're going to have to probably start inside the house, and we're going to have to probably go through some hand feeding protocols so that the dog learns to pay attention to me. While we're doing some of that hand feeding, we're going to work on commands like sit, down, watch me, something I call the turnaround game, where when I turn my back on the dog, they come around front, they sit, and they pay attention. At this point, I would inside the house start working on a leave it command, which means quit looking at this. But come over here and look at this. And eventually, after about 2 weeks of practice doing all these techniques, I'll then come back and I'll work with a client of, okay, let's move to the backyard next. It's more distracting than the house was, but it's not as distracting as the front yard is. And it's certainly less distracting than going on a walk and encountering other dogs or people, places or things. So we work in the backyard. We even work in the driveway a little bit in that second round. And again, I give about 2 weeks so that we can build a foundation with those new skills. When I come back for a third time, we'll go for a walk of the neighborhood, but we're actively going to kind of avoid and keep distance from dogs. I want to know what that threshold is. You know, a lot of dogs at 75 feet could care less, but at 50 feet, they react. So I want to work between that 50 and 75 foot range to where the dog can kind of normalize or habituate what's going on when they see another dog. And then we're going to practice stopping at every driveway, things like that. And slowly but surely, now the dog is paying attention. Now the dog is redirecting a little bit. Now the dog is listening to behavior, cues of behavior on a walk. And then we practice for 2 more weeks. That fourth session is when I bring out one of my dogs who I know is non-reactive with other dogs. And I give you time to practice with a non-reactive dog where I'm down the street a little bit, and every time your dog looks at my dog, we practice, leave it here, you get a cookie, relax, and we work on it. But you can see how this is a process, and I'm never going to tell a client, I can make your dog ignore other dogs, or I can make your dog like other dogs. I can make your dog calmer around other dogs because we can make it more normal, but it also kind of depends what the dog's history is. I mean, this is where, for me, the problem with saying I'm going to fix something comes from. You don't know about the in utero health. You don't know about, you know, the socialization period. You don't know what other kind of training techniques have been used. These are all things that we have to just work through and focus on getting better each and every day. I always joke with people, there's two ways to do dog training. One is two steps forward, three steps back, and it seems like you hit this rut and you just can't get out of it. Or we can go three steps forward, two steps back, where we're, in a sense, very, very small, steady increments of improvement. I usually tell people it's going to take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks to see some improvement with your dog, and that's only if you're practicing and you're being consistent and frequent. I guess this also brings me to another point where, you know, I always tell people you can be consistently frequent or frequently consistent, but you got to pick one of those two. But here recently, I've been having a lot of conversations with clients over the fact that I think consistency is even more important than frequency. And let me explain that a little bit because it has a lot to do with the expectation and the frustration of dog training as well. Is you'll have somebody who life gets in the way, kids, work, you name it, and then I don't train the dog and I take a couple of days off and I know the trainer's coming back to my house, so then I'm going to hit it really hard and I'll try to do like a full hour session hammering the dog with all these new commands because I haven't done anything the last couple of days. You know, that's where we start getting into frequency. Okay, I'm going to do a long, long training session. I would just as soon have very short daily training sessions where consistently it happens every single day. And I may only work 10 or 15 minutes with the dog. One of my favorite sayings is I would rather have 3 10-minute sessions than I would 1 30-minute session. And I would even rather have 10 3-minute sessions so that I could focus on just little building blocks. You know, dog training isn't going to be something that requires an hour or two of work every single day, but if you can commit to 15 minutes every single day and just work a specific idea, you're going to get better, okay? So, and I also think it's important when you're picking your trainer, talk about expectations, talk about frustration. I tell people, I want you to email me, I want you to call me. You know, part of my job as a dog trainer is also helping talk you off the ledge when that frustration level has reached a level that you just can't handle anymore. And a lot of times I just need to say, take a day or two, relax. And I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but this is that you have to deal with the people and the dogs in front of you. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need to admit, yeah, life's been really crazy. I haven't been able to. Okay, how do we get restarted? Okay, let's go back to the original stuff. Let's postpone the next session. Let's get back on track. Let's do it. But really, it's a process, just like anything else. So hopefully the dog trainer that you pick will be somebody who's willing to talk to you and willing to help you through these frustrations. But I really think more than anything is before you pick a dog trainer or even get a dog for that matter, really look at what your expectations are, okay? I've told more than one person that, you know, with the expectations you've got for this poor dog, a goldfish would be a better pet. And that's mean, but, you know, you got to look at it realistically. And the last thing I'll do in this little episode is I'm going to point out the fact that we've got a new book. It says, So You Want a Dog or Maybe Already Have a Dog. And it's WTF, which is What the Fluff. And this book is really just designed to give people a good idea before they get a dog or even after they get the dog of what the expectation going forward is going to be. It's available on Amazon. It's available through our website. We have it in ebook right now and print version. We're working on the audiobook right now so that folks can listen to it in the car. But if you've got any questions, please reach out. Some of this is going to frustrate people. And I'd rather have conversations with people and get them with the right kind of expectations so frustrations are managed from the very beginning. So it's Mike with Kiss Dog Training. Stick around. We're going to also talk about how this frustration and expectation idea is leading to a lot of dogs being returned with shelters and something called the 333 rule. So stick around, and that'll be the next topic.
If you love the topics you've been listening to, remember, Mike has written tons of books on dog training, and all are available on Amazon.com. Just search the name Mike Deathe, D-E-A-T-H-E. They are available in audiobooks, ebooks, and in print. Keep It Simple, Stupid Dog Training, KISS Dog Training for short, has been helping owners understand their dogs since 2010. We specialize in complex cases such as reactivity, aggression, anxiety, and fear. We offer in-home sessions in and around the Kansas City metro and virtual consulting for those outside that area. We are the dog trainers that focus on training owners, not dogs, emphasizing rewarding what you want and redirecting destructive behaviors into good ones. You can call us at 913-269-7595 or email at info@kissdogtraining.com for more information and help. So, still have some questions? Don't worry. Mike has more information on frustrations associated with training. Here's Mike.
Hi, guys. It's Mike with Kiss Dog Training. Welcome back. We are going to continue our little conversation on frustration and expectation, but we're going to look at it from a little different angle. My girlfriend and I both foster puppies for a local rescue here in Kansas City, and we're constantly getting phone calls of people seeing pictures of the dogs or seeing us out in public with these foster puppies. And some of the questions that we get asked when people are thinking about getting a puppy, it's obvious that they really haven't done their homework on what does it mean to have a dog, or for God's sake, even having a puppy, which is tougher. In the last topic, we talked about the new book that we just released, which is So You Want a Dog or You Already Have One. You know, and What the Fluff is the title of the book. It's basically just geared towards what do I need to be prepared for as we bring this new little ball of fur into the family. And that's where we talk about expectation. The reason I'm kind of talking this topic for a podcast or a video, however you're getting this information, is because we are seeing such a high rate of people relinquishing dogs. Okay. You know, if you work 12 hours a day, and you can't come home at lunch, and there's nobody in your family who can help you out, now is not the right time for you to get a dog. I don't care how bad you want one. A dog has to be potty trained, and that's going to require frequency and consistency of going out to the potty spot and giving lots of opportunities. It'll require some crate training so the dog can learn, I don't poop or pee here, I hold it, but when you let me out, we're going to go to the bathroom. We then have to learn, you know, what to chew on, what not to chew on. We have to get a good veterinarian. We got to get a good groomer. We got to get, you know, all the, you know, good trainer. You know, all this stuff needs to be set up before you get the dog, not when you get the dog, and while you're trying to work a full-time job, maybe with three kids all under the age of six and a better half that travels 2 weeks out of the month. You know, you're setting yourself up for frustration. A lot of rescues will use the idea of the 333 rule, which is 3 days, 3 weeks, and 3 months. And kind of, I guess, the easy way to say this is a lot of times puppies appear to be perfect. They're just laid back. They're easygoing, but they're not comfortable enough to really show us who they are. And I think that's kind of the mindset of the 333 rule, is that at 3 days, I'm only going to show you a little bit of who I am. At 3 weeks, I might show you a little bit more of who I am. And by 3 months, I feel comfortable. And now you really see who I am. So a lot of times the frustration comes out around that 3 month mark because we thought this was the behavior that we had seen up till then, which was normal. And that was just kind of getting used to it. I will joke with my clients all the time that I look at the 3 day mark as kind of a blind date. It's fun, but you don't know what the rules are. 3 weeks, more like real dating now. We really like each other. We're into this, but we're still working out the rules and we're not sure what's going on. And 3 months is more like a really serious relationship, maybe a marriage where you leave the bathroom door open, I'll show you all my warts, I'll be completely honest about who I am, and that's when most people are kind of like, wow, dating was way different than living with you. All of these things are the stuff that I wish more rescues would spend more time talking about and trainers would spend more time talking about before people get, dogs. I've been a firm believer for the last 15 years. The most beneficial amount of money you can spend is hiring a trainer before you get the dog so that we can talk. What was this breed bred for? What are going to be some of the issues I'm going to see going forward? Why would I want to think that a herding dog puppy would not be a great idea with 3 kids under the age of 6 because that dog's going to try to herd the kids. Every dog breed that's out there was bred to do a job. I always joke with people that if you go out and you want to get the toughest looking dog in the world, why are you shocked when the dog is the toughest dog in the world? Genetics, are a great predictor into what's going on. Doesn't mean that one particular kind of dog is good, bad, or indifferent, but they were bred to do a job. In fact, if you're listening to this right now, I would really, really recommend a book by a woman named Kim Brophy called Meet Your Dog. If you haven't read it, it was a book that really made a big impact on me. But it's one of these, again, that if you find yourself frustrated with a puppy or a new dog, you got to take a step back and go, what were my expectations? Are those realistic expectations? And how are those things affecting my frustration level? We may need to turn around and get the dog into doggy daycare. We may need to look at dog walkers. We may need to look at family and friends to come over at lunchtime and to play with the dog. And this may be all stuff that you have figured out when you realize you can't afford doggy daycare. Or how am I going to afford heartworm medication, grooming on this dog, doggy daycare, and hire a trainer, and realize that I've got this cute little ball of fluff that's just now becoming a teenager. So it was a cute puppy, and now it's becoming a teenager. I probably got a year or so that it's going to be a challenge. I think we go into it with the idea that everything will be great, and then when it's not, it's really easy just to relinquish the dogs, and then we end up with these full shelters, and then we're trying to figure out how to get these dogs back, into the world. So, just don't go in unawares. I tell people, I want you to go in eyes wide open. There's a reason why my prices are on the website, that I have a very detailed fine print and frequently asked questions on the website. Everything, we try to be as transparent as possible. Let's face it, having a dog can be frustrating. And if you're one of those people, I guess this will be my last little, caveat about this topic, is if you were one of those people cursed with a perfect dog first, you're going to assume that all dogs are going to be just like that. And really and truly, I've had to convince a lot of people you should have gone out and bought a lottery ticket because that dog is not typical of what dogs are normally like. Potty training, if done right, can be done pretty quickly, but it's not easy. Chew toy training, it can be done, but it's not necessarily easy. It requires consistency and frequency. Taking a dog for a walk and teaching them not to pull and pay attention to you, well, it takes practice. All of this stuff, but there are a lot of people out there that got that one dog, their forever dog, and they got them first, and that dog just kind of fell into place. Those are not the normal dogs. Those are the exceptions, not the rules. But with all that being said, if you are kind of experiencing this frustration and you need some help, get hold of us, call us. We're here in Kansas City. We do virtual sessions, so we can work with you over the internet. We can work in person. We've got books. We've got videos. We've got all sorts of stuff to help. But don't, before you relinquish the dog, you know, which I'll be honest, let me be clear. If you're in over your head, sometimes relinquishing the dog is the absolute best thing for the dog. But if you're somebody who wants to work on it and try to improve and you have patience and you're willing to be frequent and consistent with the practice, reach out, okay? And if we can't help you, we'll find somebody in your area who can. Once again, this is Mike with Kiss Dog Training. We appreciate it. You have a great day.